We're going to continue the series today on Time to Soar in 24. This is part four of the installment, and it's talking about putting your heart into it. I don't know about you, have you ever done something half-heartedly? I used to every now and then, especially when my dad told me to do something on the farm. You know, sometimes my heart just wasn't in it, you know, and I didn't do as good at it. But, you know, if we're going to soar in 24, you know, I find that what I found out in my walk with God is that, you know, we need to put our heart into it and allow God to start to move then. You know, it needs to be our whole heart. And we kind of looked at that last week when we looked at Jeremiah 29 there for a minute. Talked about if we search for Him with our whole heart, we're going to, you know, we're going to find Him. And I found in my walk with God that the more sold out we are, the more enjoyable our walk with God will be. You know, if you're really into it. And I also found that anything I do half-heartedly usually ends in disaster. You know, I always in sports, you know, when I didn't try is when I usually got injured. You know, when I was just out there just lollygagging, just kind of putting in my time. And see, I think sometimes we as Christians just kind of put in our time if we're not careful. So getting our whole heart into it. We're going to look at our heart in three different points today. First one we're going to see is in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. You know, Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, but, you know, you have to be careful because Solomon was backslidden at the time. So some of the things in there you have to really cipher out with the rest of Scripture, you know, to make sure that it lines up with everything. And finally, we know that Solomon got his head back on straight. Anybody know, remember what messed Solomon up? Anybody for extra points today? He had too many wives and concubines. Ooh, it got quiet. Fortunately, in our country, we only have one, right? One wife for one man. I mean, that's a good thing. You know, I think, you know, sometimes, you know, you get in trouble if you have more than that. And there's people have gotten in trouble doing that, right? But, you know, he intermarried. It was kind of a political thing. He married women from other countries to make sort of a covenant or a pact, you know. And when you did that, then, you know, if you had to go to war, they would help you and it would keep them from going to war against you. But what happened? It led his heart away. And see, he made a big mistake. He started chasing after these things in the world. And then he really fell away from God. And God had given him such a great gift. He was the wisest man on earth. But he did stupid stuff. Right? So we can learn from people in the Bible where they make their mistakes, and hopefully we don't make the same ones. So Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, "He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart so that man will not find out the work which God has done for him from the beginning to the end." Okay, so we're going to pray right now and we're going to look at what eternity in our hearts is. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, for the power and the anointing that's on it today. Lord, we pray for a special stirring in each of our hearts. Lord, we want more of you. We thank you, Lord, that you came and you lived your life, a sinless life, and you died a sinner's death. But sin could not hold you down because you were innocent. And we thank you for the power that's in your blood that's able to set us free. Whatever's holding us back, Lord, and we just want to follow you with our whole heart and put our heart into it today. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. And we bind the devil from trying to steal the word in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we see from this passage here, we're going to look at the idea of eternity in our hearts. God has placed eternity in our hearts. And I believe, you know, as we come to know God, I don't know about you, but after I was born again, I just found out there was so much more to life. There's more than I could ever fathom or understand that from before. You know, I thought I had a pretty good grasp on things. But when I became a Christian and gave my life to Christ, it kind of changed, you know, everything. It did change everything. And the thing is, and you've heard this before, is that each of us have a God-sized hole in our heart that only Jesus can fill. And the sooner we figure that out, the better off we're going to be. I don't know about you, but I've always been a thinker. Sometimes that could get me into trouble. But, you know, I like to think about things. I like to figure things out. And when you ponder, you know, the things of life and eternity and, you know, why we're here and what's life really all about, I mean, surely there has to be more than what maybe we're experiencing sometimes. So I found out that it comes the idea that, you know, only the Creator knows what is best for the creation. You know, it's very humbling for us to have to submit our lives to God. Some people don't want to do it. Some people don't want to surrender or submit to anybody. Maybe they've had a bad experience in life where they feel like they've been bossed around or whatever. And maybe they've been around leadership that was very mean or evil, shall we say. And so they never did really understand what it means to follow somebody that really loves them. And see, you know, that's why we need to get to that point in our relationship with God, knowing that, you know, God would never do anything to hurt me. God would never do anything to destroy my life. You know, God has good plans. And when we come to that realization, well, things start to fall into place. And, you know, as I mentioned, you know, we sometimes have that feeling that we know there's something more. You know, I found out, you know, the world is not enough. You know, Jesus said that if we can gain the whole world and still lose our soul. So evidently the world is not the answer. You know, many people, you know, we spend our time trying to accumulate things, right? We try to go after all these things and, you know, we think those things are going to make us happy. And granted, some of them make us comfortable. You know, I like a nice bed, you know, to sleep in, you know, better than sleeping on the floor. You know, there's sort of the things, you know, I like a roof over my head, you know. But those are just basic necessities. But a lot of times we chase after things that, I know, sometimes we don't really need, per se. And those things start to consume us, and that's what gets us into trouble. Now, if we're going to soar in 24, then we need to start to see the big picture. And I feel that's what sort of comes into place when you and I get that revelation from God that there's more to this life than we understand. You know, if we took a rope, I know we don't have one this long. I looked in the back. But if you took a rope and you stretched it from here and went all the way around the earth and brought it back to here, eternity would still be longer. But then you take that rope and you make a little mark on that rope. Well, that's our life compared to eternity. It's such a small thing. But I will say this, make your mark count. Amen. It may be a little mark compared to eternity that you and I are on this planet, but we need to make that mark count. That means we need to have a plan. That means we shouldn't just let things happen. We should try to, you know, go after things that we know it's going to glorify God, and things that are going to, you know, be good for us and our families. And so that just takes a little bit of planning, a little bit of, you know, yielding our life to God and praying that God, you know, God's will is done, because, you know, we need so many things in our life to fall into place. Now, my wife is puzzling. No, I mean, she likes to put puzzles together. That's it, you know. But she just loves putting puzzles together. I do not. That, to me, is the biggest waste of time in life. I mean, you put something together and you just tear it apart. You know, I just can't do it. My mind, I don't know, I'm not wired that way. But, you know, she'll put these big puzzles together, 1,000, even larger puzzles. And there I can see her closing in right at the end, because she does it right in the living room there. And I'm sitting over, I'm kind of watching every now and then. And all of a sudden, she's done. But there's a piece missing. Isn't that a bummer? I don't know. It's hard to feel fulfillment. I mean, I know she's done. I mean, she did the best she could. The piece was gone. I don't know where it went. Maybe I hit it. No, I didn't. I wouldn't do that. But see, that's what life is like without God. It seems like there's a piece missing. There's something missing in our life. And we need to make sure that we put that piece where it goes. And, you know, just like any puzzle, you just can't go jamming pieces anywhere you want, willy-nilly, right? Those pieces have to go in a predetermined spot. And I believe the predetermined spot for God is sitting on the throne of our heart. you know, where he can rule and reign. So God is that missing piece to our puzzle. And so even though we know we go through seasons, anybody's been around a while, you know there's seasons, right? I mean, we live in Iowa, we get four seasons. Some of them kind of blur together, right? You know, we had a bad season a few weeks ago. We had a lot of snow, right? You know, but all those seasons. And as you go through life, you're going to find out you're going to have some seasons in your life. And you have to be ready for that. You have to be aware that's going to happen. And if you're prepared and understand the seasons and the ebb and flow of life, you're not going to get messed up too bad. Because what happens is when we go through a bad season or a dry season, you know, we think that's it. That's it. That's all we got. But see, that's going to change. Yes. But one thing that never changes is eternity. The eternal, the things of God never changes. The Word of God is the same forever. So even though the things around our life, and we go through all these different seasons, you know, we can understand the concept of what we need to do. And to be honest, some things in our walk with God are timing issues, you know. So that's why the Scripture says there, it's got to be at the appropriate time. You know, I'm just glad, like for myself, I got married at the age I was. You know, because if I'd have got married younger, I was still very selfish. I was selfish enough at 24. I think I was 24. I have to double check that. I might have been 26 when I got married. Yeah, 24, I wouldn't have made it either. Yep. But, you know, we're selfish people. You know, but I had to go through some life for myself and start to learn things. And, you know, as you know, you have so went through some things yourself. Now, one thing I find with eternity is it tells us, you know, we need to think long term but live short term. You can't live eternity. You can't live, you know, all one of these days. You know what I'm saying? One of these days. And you're never going to have any fun in life if you're always looking one of these days. But you plan long term, but you got to think short term. What can I do now? What can I experience now? Because what happens is, you know, don't miss the moment or you're going to miss the momentum. Because there's things in life, sometimes we need no momentum to get through. You know, when I was a kid, you know, I lived way out in the country, and, you know, we had this big hill. We called it the Hibbets Hill. And we had a lot more snow back then. But this hill, you was driving along like this, and then it went up like this around the corner. And when it was slick, if you had no momentum, you weren't going to make it. And you just prayed you would not meet anybody, you know, when they come up there. So you had to get a run for it. You know what I'm saying? And you get a run for it, and then it's also wash body, boardy, or, you know, something that'll throw you. But see, you get a momentum, and you get to the top of the hill. And maybe that's what's keeping some of us where we're at right now. Some of us are still down in the valley of our life because we just don't have any momentum. And we need to get some. You got to start piecing things together. You know, just like in baseball. You know, you hit two singles, cool. But it might take three or four to score. Right? You got to be able to hit them around. You got to piece some things together. So, you know, maybe come back to the place in your life where you're doing some figuring, some ciphering in your life. You know, what do I need to do different? What are some changes? Some of them might be incremental. Incremental changes can make a big difference in the long run. You know, just little tweaks in our life and in our walk with God, you know, how we do our prayer times perhaps, and how we study the Bible, how faithful we are to the house of the Lord, and in our giving and in our serving other people. All these things fit in there. And then you start to get some momentum in life, and you start to get some traction, you know, and then you start to see things come together, and that's awesome. So we want to make our little mark count, right? That eternity is a long time, and there's that little mark. I mean, just think about it. We're just here for a short time. I know sometimes it seems long. You know, some may live 80 years, some less, some more. You know, but in the face of eternity, that's not really that long. Not really that long at all. And so that's why we want to make this mark count and to make sure that we're the place we need to be. Because what we do now influences our eternity. All right, next passage I want to look at is in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3. This is Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian church. And he wrote two letters to them. Evidently, they needed a little more counsel than some of the other churches. But They were a vibrant church, excited, doing a lot of things, but yet they needed some correction in some things. Okay, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3 says, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So this point is, there's a message in our heart. I hope you found that message. God has put a message inside of you. When you became a Christian, everything for the eternal unfolded for you. And God has placed you in his family, in the body of Christ. And being there, each of us have a message to tell the world. We need to tell the world and let them know about the realities of God. And so there's several ways we can give a message. The first one is pretty self-explanatory. You know, it's a message of words. You know, sometimes we just got to say it. You know, like I've always said, if I would say more nice things that I think to my wife, man, we could write some marriage books or something. You know what I mean? But I sometimes think them, but I don't say them. And so I just had somebody call me the other day, and they told me that their neighbor was getting close to passing away, and they wondered if they should go talk to him about Jesus. I says, I would. You know, well, they said, well, I don't want to risk making him upset. I said, well, would you rather risk making him upset, or would you rather risk not knowing for sure when they died they would spend eternity in hell? So which one can you live with? And that's a message we need to understand. I know we can't preach 24/7 to people. There's timing issues in people's life. But I'll tell you, when it comes to the when the end of your mark is coming really close, there's some words that need to be said. Right. Words that need to be said. And we as people understand those words, and we've all been around it. So, and the words that we talk about, it's the good news. It's not the bad news. It's the good news what God has put inside of our heart. And that's why we need to speak it out and tell people about the relationship with God. And I just told them, I said, hey, just start off telling them what Jesus has done for you. Right. You know, you don't have to get all religious and start quoting a bunch of scriptures to them. You know, what's Jesus done for you? You know, how has Jesus changed your life? Surely we know that, right? So that's not like we're having to really conjure up some new information here. No, we just tell them what God's done in our life and let it start there and just see where the Holy Ghost takes you, because the Holy Spirit will start putting words in your mouth. Amen.
Amen.
That's awesome. When God starts to move and we start to flow with him, I tell you, there ain't nothing like it. Nothing like it at all. So there's power, we know, on the word of God to accomplish the task for which it was sent. See, there's an anointing on the word of God. When we speak God's word, we just let it do the work. There's times when I traveled and preached, I would go into some very tough churches. And, you know, people that were all mad at each other. Have you been in a church like that? That's a tough church. You know, and I went there and, you know, but I found out that I can either try to push through with my anointing, which at that time was a little less than it is now, or I could just use the word. Let the word do the work. And just by speaking the word of God, watching God's word, boom. Just taking shots and boom, just starting to pull those walls down. And see, that's what we need to trust. You know, that the words we speak, they're going to accomplish that for which it was sent. Secondly, other than just speaking the word, we have to have a message of action. You know, a message of action. You know, we just can't talk it, we need to walk it. You know, we need to live it out before people and let them understand it. See, our life needs to be a letter from God so that all the world can read. Did you know that? We're a letter. We're actually, the way we live and what we do by our actions, the whole world can read our life and really what's going on right there on how we need to see that happen. So we need to make sure that we have some spell check going on, right? So we ain't sending the wrong message. So, you know, then lastly, we need to have a spirit or a message that is inspired by the Spirit of God. You know, I don't know about you, but I thank God for the Holy Ghost all the time. You know, to me, Christianity would be impossible without the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. There's no way that we can live the things that it says in the New Testament without help from the Spirit of God. And we need to trust that. And we need to come to that conclusion that I know I can't, but I know He can through me.
Amen.
You know what I mean? That's a good way to live. You know, I know that I can't do some of these things. You know, there's some things I can't accomplish just because, you know, I've been around long enough. I've learned a couple things. But I'll tell you what, most things in life I found is that I thank God that the Holy Spirit is inside of me. And I asked Him to lead me and guide me. That means, yes, I talk to the Holy Ghost. You need to talk to the Holy Spirit yourself. You know, we need to say, God, you know, especially if you're going to study. I mean, I tell new Christians especially, hey, when you sit down to read the Bible, you know, just ask God to help you. Don't try to figure that big thing out by yourself. I tried that. You know, right when I was coming to Christ, I went and bought a Bible. I started to read that thing. Made some sense, but not a lot of sense. Until I got born again. Then all of a sudden, I had a helper. The Holy Spirit come to live inside of me. And He started to help me to understand the things of God and start to put them in place and put them in the things, because, you know, there's a lot of things in there that need to be put into place. And only God can do that. So I just thank God for the Holy Ghost and all the great and mighty things that the Holy Spirit is doing in each of our lives and what he has come to do. And we're ready for more things. Amen. So lastly, I want to look at Romans 5:5, and we're going to talk about the love. So first, remember, we looked at the fact that eternity is in our hearts. It's there if we want to find it. Secondly, we looked at there's a message, and we all need a message. And lastly, I want to see that there's love in our hearts. Love is so important. It's one of the main things that I really probably had to learn more about in the Bible than probably anything else, this love thing. Because my personality, I'm not a real lovey-dovey dude, you know what I'm saying? That's just not me. And I had to really learn a lot of things and really change the way I thought, the way I acted sometimes, because, I don't know, just wasn't me. But thank God for the Holy Ghost again. You know, and I started to learn some things. And Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So there we see the idea there is love in each of our hearts. Now, some people are hard to love. Have you ever ran into somebody like that? Maybe you know them very well. Don't look at them right now. Right? But some people are just hard to love. But I'll tell you what, I have found out, and I guarantee you, if you have the love of God operating, you can love them. You can love them with the love of God. You know, you start to think about those people in life that has taken advantage of you and maybe wronged you. And, you know, just what the power that God can do, because you know that if you hold bitterness or unforgiveness in your life, it's going to affect you. It ain't going to hurt them. Unforgiveness hurts us. So that's why if we can get to the point and or the place also, you know, and like, you know, was it 1 Corinthians 13, that love chapter, start to look at everything that baby has to offer. Man, there's some good stuff there. You know, mainly the one I like is love never fails. Man, the idea if you're walking in love. And I like the idea of if you're walking in love, you can never get hurt. Have you ever been hurt recently? Maybe somebody's hurt your heart. Maybe somebody's really said some mean things to you or done something to you or your children. And it gets real personal, don't it? Quick. You know, you think you're walking in love until they challenge that love. But see, I do know this, that the love of God can overcome. And it starts off with the idea that hope does not disappoint. Now, I assume we've all been disappointed. You know, but with God's love flooding our hearts, you know, see, when we walk in love, we'll never be disappointed. Why? I'm glad you asked. What I believe is when we walk in the God kind of love, our expectations change. Instead of putting them on the other person, we put them on God. You're going to find out
and if you haven't already, that we put expectations on people wrongly. You know, we expect them to do something or behave or do something a certain way, and then we end up getting disappointed. And we get hurt. And we may feel like giving up on them. But see, the truth is that, you know, mostly, and this happens in some relationships with people, if they don't understand the fact that God loves them and they can learn to accept that love on their own, they're always going to be trying to grab love from somebody else, and that person can't do it. Then what's going to happen is disaster, broken, severed relationship. But see, when we put our expectations on God, you know, God can deliver. He'll deliver. And what it does, what I've found, is that it guards my heart. And the Bible says, from the heart flow the issues of life, and that's why we're supposed to guard them. In Proverbs 4, it tells us that. So it's only wise, if we want to learn to soar in 24, we've got to protect our heart. We've got to make sure that thing's working right. You know, if your heart stops working, bad things happen physically. Well, also, if your heart isn't right spiritually, then bad things can happen there too. And so we need to sometimes let Dr. Jesus, amen, Dr. Jesus come in and touch us. And, you know, as we look back at our previous life or our life just coming to Christ and everything that's happened, you know, think about what happened in your life when Jesus changed your heart. You know, how did that change you? Well, how did that help you to interact with people? You know, a lot of things, you know, for me, it took away a lot of pride. A lot of things in my life that way that were trying to come in and destroy and to hold me back. And when I started to feel the love of God, what I found out is the love of God can melt the coldest heart. The love of God can melt the coldest heart. And so if we just show up with love and keep doing that, we're going to start to see things start to manifest in our life and our lives because, you know, like I said, the love of God helps us to love the unlovable. And most people is going to go through life and you're going to get hurt by somebody. Somebody's going to take advantage of you. If you're self-employed, you know what that means. Some people ain't going to pay you. That's just the way it is. You know, so all these things has come into place. And anytime you help people, and, you know, I tell this, and this is kind of off a little bit, but, you know, if we pray, God, use me. Has anybody ever prayed that prayer? I think a lot of us have. God, use me. Well, get ready to be used. Amen. And if you don't guard your heart, you'll quit. Because people will take advantage of kind people. That's just part of it. But we have to look at it from the point, are we helping them or are we doing it for God? Are we doing it so it draws attention to us or are we doing it for God? So when we get to that place, that realization that we're doing it to glorify Jesus, well, then that changes everything. It changes, you know, then it helps us not to get hurt or feeling that rejection. Okay, so like I said, God's love is one of the greatest forces on the earth because love never fails. And we're going to look at three different ideas about God here. I think it's three. Yep. First, God's love is an irresistible force. It's irresistible. See, God's love draws us to him, and it causes us to want to be with him. I mean, once I found out how much God loved me, it was easy to want to pursue him. Usually, we pursue things we love, right? Most of you are sitting by somebody you probably love. So you probably had to pursue them some way. And see, it's like that with the love of God. You know, God moves in our life. And, you know, to me, it's like a magnet. Once I found out the love of God and everything that God had done for me, it was easy to follow him. Next, as well as being irresistible, God's love is unwavering. See, God's love for us never changes. You know, God loves us based on, you know, who we are, not based on what we do. So our love, our relationship with God is not based on performance. Now, many of the relationships you and I have today are performance-based relationships. Your relationship with your boss, that's performance-based. If you don't perform, what happens? They don't love you no more. You're out of there. And a lot of your friendships, they're performance-based relationships. If you don't start holding up your end of the relationship, they're going to kick you to the curb. But see, with God, it's not like that. You know, it's not based on, you know, what we do. It's based on who we are. And we're a child of God. And that's important that we get to that concept. Lastly, God's love is an unrelenting force. And this is something that we need to really understand, is that God's love will never give up on you. He'll never give up on you. We're so used to people giving up on us, or us giving up on other people, we think that's just normal. That's normal behavior. But when it comes to God and His love for us, God just keeps coming. You know, as we know, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, you know, God went looking for them. They hid, but God went looking for them. We usually think the other way. We think God was out to get them, and that's the relationship we think we have with God. If you mess up, God's going to get you. No. See, God's love is unrelenting. He just keeps coming. And in closing, what I'd like to say is that God does not want to play hide and seek with us. He wants to play follow the leader. And He's the leader. God doesn't want to hide on you. He doesn't try to keep Himself from you. He is always going to come and want to reveal Himself to you because you're His pride and joy. That's how much He loves you. And you're probably thinking right now, maybe some saying, well, I've done some things that I know my earthly daddy's not proud of. So how could my heavenly daddy be that way? He is.
Yes. Thank you.
He loves you for you.
Yes.
Just being you. He made you. He created you. He wants relationship with you. But we need to make sure that it's a matter of the heart, and we need to put our heart into it.
Amen.
Let's close in prayer.